Good morning and Happy New Year. The Ways and Means Committee will come to order. Rosa, please call the roll.
Chair McLean.
Here.
Vice Chair Buchanan.
Here.
Majority Whip Lamarca.
Here.
Ranking Member Escalante.
Here.
Representatives Alvarez.
Here.
Bankson.
Here.
Barnaby.
Here.
Burfield.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Caruso.
Good morning.
Casello.
Here.
Duggan.
Here.
Fabricio.
Here.
Hart.
Here.
Holcomb.
Here.
Hillebrew.
Yes, ma'am.
Rayner. Roach.
Present.
Robinson.
Here.
Roth.
Here.
Saroy.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Tant.
Here.
Valdez.
Happy New Year, present.
Of course, Mr. President.
Rosa, thank you for that. Members, please turn off all of your electronic devices. Welcome to the Ways and Means Committee. Happy New Year to all of you. I hope you had a blessed holiday season and got to spend some time away with your families and friends. And so we'll get, we've got several bills to get through this morning, and so we'll get started on that. The first bill will be House Bill 689, Ad Valorem Tax Exemption for Nonprofit Homes for the Aged by Representative Smith. Representative, you're recognized to present your bill. Wherever you're comfortable.
Thank you, Chair. My apologies. I thought I was going to be tailing Charlie, but nothing feels better than being first. So House Bill 689 will sound familiar. Each and every one of you voted for this exact same bill last year. We passed unanimously through three committees and off the House floor. Little trouble in the Senate, but we've got that fixed this year. The bill makes it easier in Florida to build low-income housing for seniors. The bill seeks to align Florida statute with the IRS tax code when dealing with what the IRS calls homes for the aged, which is low-income housing for seniors over the age of 62. Yes, I'm offended by that word because I'm over 62. The issue, you've been offended for many years, Sam, thank you. But what we ran into, the problem we're trying to fix in Florida was some of the property appraisers didn't quite understand the language. In particular, we had seven counties that weren't giving the proper ad valorem tax reduction to the businesses. And the issue really came down to when a nonprofit owns other nonprofits that builds the low-income housing for seniors, who gets the ad valorem tax deduction? The parent company or the subsidiary? And Florida doesn't care because only one of those entities gets the tax deduction. So as you can see from the staff analysis, there's virtually no fiscal impact. It's just who gets the tax deduction. This just seeks to clarify that language in Florida statute to make it just a little bit easier to build low-income housing for seniors in Florida. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Smith. Members, are there questions on the bill? Any questions? There are no amendments. Is there public testimony? There is no public testimony. Oh, I'm sorry. There is public testimony on the bill. Jeff Sharkey, you recognize. Thank you, Jeff. That was the public testimony. Members in debate? Any debate? No debate. Representative Smith, you're recognized to close.
Wave close, Chair.
Thank you. Rosa, please call the roll on House Bill 689.
Chair McLean.
Yes.
Vice Chair Buchanan.
Yes.
Majority Whip Lamarca.
Yes.
Ranking Member Escalante.
Yes.
Representatives Alvarez.
Yes.
Bankson.
Yes.
Barnaby.
Yes.
Burfield.
Yes.
Campbell.
Yes.
Caruso.
Yes.
Casello.
Yes.
Duggan.
Yes.
Fabricio.
Yes.
Hart.
Yes.
Holcomb.
Yes.
Hillebrew.
Yes, ma'am.
Rayner. Roach.
Yes.
Robinson.
Yes.
Roth.
Yes.
Saroy.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Tant.
Yes.
Valdez.
Yes.
23 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, you've ensured that Representative Killebrew will have somewhere to live for a long time to come. We'll report the bill favorably. Congratulations, Representative Smith. Members, now we'll move on to CS for HM 143, tax exempt private activity bonds by Representative Soroy. Representative Soroy, you're recognized to present your bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. This memorial asks Congress to add spaceports as qualifying under the IRS code for tax exempt financing. That is the memorial.
Thank you for that explanation. Members, are there questions on the bill? Any questions? No questions. There are no amendments to the bill. Is there public testimony? There is. Oh, Jeff Sharkey. Lindsay Pierce. Thank you both. That is all the public testimony there is. Is there debate on the bill, members? Any debate? Seeing none, Representative Soroy, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Wave close.
Rosa, please call the roll on CS for House Memorial 143 and announce the vote.
Chair McClain?
Yes.
Vice Chair Buchanan?
Yes.
Majority Whip Lamarca?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escomani?
Yes.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Hillebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Rayner? Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Soroy?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
23 yeas, 0 nays.
We'll show the bill reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative. Now, moving on, House Joint Resolution 53, ad valorem property tax exemption for the surviving spouse of quadriplegics by Representative Tant. Representative Tant, you're recognized to present your bill. Yes, ma'am. Sure.
Thank you, Chair McClain, Vice Chair Buchanan, Whip Lamarca, and Ranking Member Escomani for scheduling this bill for hearing. Members, House Bill 53 is a joint resolution to put before the voters an extension of the homestead exemption that currently applies to quadriplegics to their surviving spouses, similarly to those that we provide for surviving spouses of partially or permanently disabled veterans. I'm filing this bill on behalf of my constituent, J.R. Harding, who is with us today. He and his wife were recently doing end-of-life planning. And when he realized that the minute he died, his wife would be hit with a tax bill that could potentially put her out of her own home. Many spouses of quadriplegics cannot work due to the constant demands of caregiving, or if they do have jobs, they are the first line of defense when the caregiver is absent, and which leads to lost wages, lost days of work, demotions, and lost advancement opportunities. Additionally, the homes of quadriplegics must be significantly renovated at their expense to accommodate wheelchairs as well as other equipment necessary for lifting and transporting and transferring the disabled resident. This tax exemption would only apply to the surviving spouse's remarriage or sale of the house, in which case the actual dollar amount of the ad valorem tax would apply to the next home, again, ending upon remarriage. The Revenue Estimating Conference has scored this and given it a minimal fiscal impact. Members, this is the reason for the joint resolution and the bill, and I ask for your support.
Thank you for the explanation. Members, are there questions on the bill? Any questions? Seeing none, there are no amendments to the bill. Is public testimony? There is. Dr. J.R. Harding, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of this committee. I am J.R. Harding. I've been living with quadriplegia for 40 years. I am a two-time quadriplegic, meaning I broke my neck twice and two separate times, 15 years apart. I work full time. I do some consulting to meet extra needs. I volunteer, and I'm married for 17 years. I'm here today to ask for your support for this bill. It's good public policy. It's based on current laws and exemptions that apply to our first responders and veterans. It's codified in 196.081. Some of you may or may not know but independent living for quadriplegics are significantly expensive. It's a challenge. It's a challenge on a number of levels, primarily financially. And this challenge is because we choose work rather than our state and federal benefits. The ADA does not apply to private home ownership. I was lucky enough to be able to move home temporarily after the hospital and then spent the next 10 years on a college campus because it was the only place that I could find reasonable accommodations. When I purchased my home 25 years ago, a modest 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom home, ranch style, theoretically easy to modify, it was an additional $80,000 on the cost of the home, just for a ramp, a bathroom, some wider doorways, and some tile on the floor. In fact, 25 years later, a third of the home is still not modified, still not accessible, because I could not afford to do it then, and I can't do it today. That's because of the ongoing challenges of living with quadriplegia. I spend over $60,000 a year just to get out of bed, go to the bathroom, and take a shower every day. Now, I could go on about my challenges, but I'm here for my wife. I'm here for the hundreds of other quadriplegics whose spouses chose best of us, those who took their vows seriously, those who chose to stick with us for sickness, wellness, and in health. My independence, my work, my career, and my leisure opportunities are directly related to the sacrifices my wife makes. In fact, during COVID, we all remember. She was that first line of defense. She was the one getting me out of the bed, helping with my catheterization, getting me showered, because there was no home health care personnel to be hired. Spouses for quadriplegics cannot have careers because of contributions. Their selfless love, they're the glue that keeps it together. They are our lifeline. And my wife frequently reminds me that she too is disabled. She has to share in those challenges. Our home, with the AIDS coming in constantly, whether she has to wake up at 3 in the morning to fix a problem or to make sure they arrive so I could be here at this committee meeting or at work, right, or at 10 o'clock at night, picking up after them, and all of those house chores that I'm not able to do that she has to do, right? This is done out of love, out of commitment. Therefore, I'm asking you not to rudely remind my spouse and many other spouses each year that we are passing with a tax that was not there in the first place. I thank you for your support, and this is good policy.
Thank you for your testimony. Dr. Akinyemi? Thank you. That is all of the public testimony. Members, is there debate on the bill? Debate on the bill? Whip Lamarck, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll be brief. But Representative, thank you for bringing this bill forward, and Doctor, thank you for coming in and telling us your story. I have an aunt, my godmother, whose husband is a 100% service disabled veteran with Alzheimer's. She also has a daughter with an anoxic brain injury who has 24-hour care. But for the fact that her husband is going through what he is going through as a veteran, she would not have the exemption if it was just her situation with her daughter. So a lot on her plate. But thank you for not just being here, but also talking about how important it is what your spouse does for you and why it's just, I mean, some of the time we think about the big things and sometimes we miss the little things. And so thanks to Representative Tant, I'll be up in support of this bill.
Debate, members. Representative Tant, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Everyone, you've met my constituent. One thing about JR is he tries to take his pain and put it to purpose. And so I want to thank you for bringing this to me so that I could bring this forward. And wanted to also say that the Property Appraisers Association supports the bill. So with that, I close and humbly ask for your support.
Rosa, please call the roll on HJR 53 to announce the vote, please.
Chair McClain?
Yes.
Vice Chair Buchanan?
Yes.
Majority Whip Lamarca?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escomani?
Yes.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Pacello?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Rayner?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Tant? Valdez?
Yes.
24 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, we'll show the HJR 53 reported favorably. Representative Tant, you're recognized to present House Bill 55, the companion to the HJR.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I pretty much described all of that in the joint resolution presentation as well, so I will waive further comment at this time. Just ask for your support.
Are there questions? There are no amendments to the bill. Public testimony. Dr. Ikinyemi, thank you. That's the public testimony. Is there any debate on the bill? Seeing none, you're recognized to close.
Wave close. Thank you.
Thank you. Rosa, please call the roll on House Bill 55 and announce the vote.
Chair McClain?
Yes.
Vice Chair Buchanan?
Yes.
Majority Whip Lamarca?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escomani?
Yes.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Pacello?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Rayner?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
24 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Rosa. We will show House Bill 55 reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Tant. Thank you, Mr. Harding. Yes, sir. Yep, thank you. Members, we'll move on to PCB 2401, Increased Homestead Property Tax Exemption. The first of those for the consideration is 2401. And they will be presented by Vice Chair Buchanan. You are recognized to explain the PCB.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, members. This morning, I'm going to be presenting two HJRs in addition to an implementing bill, of which the first is PCB WMC 24-01. Currently, as many of you may know, there are two existing homestead exemptions for all homesteaded properties in the state of Florida, the first of which is a $25,000 exemption of property value for all levies. The second of which is evaluation of greater than $50,000 to $75,000, which is a $25,000 exemption as well, that applies to non-school levies. This first HAR would increase the value of the second exemption, the one that would apply only to non-school levies, to $50,000. And it would apply to the exemption to the portion of the homestead exemption of the property valued from $50,000 to $100,000. If approved by voters, this would go into effect January 1st, 2025. That is the HJR.
Thank you, Vice Chair Buchanan, for that explanation. Members, are there questions? Ranking Member Escamani, you're recognized.
Thank you so much, and Happy New Year, everyone. So thanks for the presentation, Vice Chair. I know I'm getting a lot of concern from local governments about just the impact on their revenue. Could you maybe speak to the estimated fiscal? I don't think it's been scored yet, but from your perspective and staff analysis, what do you think the fiscal would be? And any concern of how that would impact local government's ability to deliver services like police, fire, et cetera?
Thank you, Ranking Member. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Great question. I've had an opportunity to speak with some of the stakeholders in this space, and this is pretty historic in a sense. You know, we're talking about $1 billion that's estimated to $1.1 billion in tax savings for property owners that have homesteaded properties in the state of Florida. So it is a significant amount.
You're recognized.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the answer. Any idea if renters would see any relief from this at all?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Ranking Member, for the question. The bill does not speak to renters, I couldn't speak to how it would directly or indirectly impact renters. This is more addressed to those folks that have homesteaded properties in the state of Florida.
And I just have one last question, Chair, and I'll pass it. Thank you. I'm just curious about impact of urban versus rural counties, if you can speak to that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Ranking Member. I have not had the opportunity to have some of those conversations with stakeholders within some of the rural counties, although I've had opportunities to speak with some of the folks at Florida League of Cities. I look forward to having some of those, continue to have some of those conversations, of which, this is not the first time, we've passed and put on the ballot for folks to consider a tax exemption of this type. It, in fact, was a little over a couple decades ago, which we did the last one. So thank you.
Representative Valdez, you're recognized. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, and thank you very much for the opportunity to ask questions. Rep. Buchanan, in reference to the follow-up with Representative Escamani's question, do we know what the financial impact would be to local governments in small, medium, and urban districts, size districts?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Valdez, for the question. In fact, I have requested that information from the League of Cities and League of Counties.
Representative Tant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So my question goes to fiscally restrained counties. I have two counties in my new district which are struggling to basically execute basic functions of government at times. They don't have enough funds. They don't have enough property. A lot of it's ag, and so they don't have enough property to tax. So the question that I have is whether or not you plan to address, similarly to what's been done in constitutional amendments in the past, the fiscally restrained counties, adding some protections for them.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Representative Tant, for that question. I think that's something we can continue to discuss. I believe that was done in 2008, and I believe, again, attempted in 2018 in a measure that I don't believe ended up passing the ballot initiative. So that's something we can continue to have a conversation about.
Recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chair Buchanan, I would love to work with you on that. So I will be circling back soon. Thank you.
Representative Hart, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rep. Buchanan, I was just wondering, do we have any idea how many homeowners will fall between that $50,000 and $100,000 assessed valuation? Have we looked at that yet?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Representative Hart, for that question. I do not have those numbers with me, but I think that's a great question. And I do believe over the last couple decades, we've seen how the assessed value and the market value of properties have dramatically increased in the state of Florida. So that's a great question and a number we should get run down.
Thank you.
You're recognized.
I was just wondering, where are we with the League of Cities and some other of the other stakeholders or on this bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Hart, for that question. I believe most of them are here, so they can probably bring that up when they make their remarks.
You're welcome. Representative Campbell, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My first question is regarding, you mentioned that it's a $1 billion fiscal negative impact, but in the staff report, it's stating that the revenue estimating conference has not estimated a potential revenue yet on the impacts. Do we know when we will have that report out?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. They're going to hear it on Friday the 12th.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one quick follow-up. So currently, my question is, what are they using now to come up with that estimate as it stands, if that report hasn't been out yet?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Representative Campbell. The staff did work with DOR to get some informal estimates as it relates to that number.
Good. Representative Valdez, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Round two. Sorry about that. Okay. I recall years ago when the housing market crashed, and I was on the school board at the time and trying to figure out the finances based on the decrease of revenue that we had received was, you know, pretty impactful. So I wonder, have we thought about what are some of the ramifications should this pass and the voters decide that this is what they want? Have we thought about what are some of the ramifications that it could bring to public services, such as police, fire, parks and rec? I mean, just so many different aspects of our local government's services.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Valdez, for that question. So as it relates to this exemption, this first HJR, we are not, this is net of any school levies, so this is not including levies.
That is an example.
So to answer your question, that's something we're continuing to have conversations with stakeholders on and getting feedback as it relates to how that might be impacted. Sometimes it's helpful for me when you look at something through the lens, you know, of a property owner. You know, what does it mean for that individual that has a homestead of property, and how might this impact them? You know, and I'm not an accountant, but I think we do have maybe an in-house accountant in here with Representative Caruso here. But just some quick math as it relates to this. If this were to pass and be voted and approved by voters, for instance, in the Sarasota County, the average savings would be $134 annually, and assuming the millage rate remains consistent. In the city of Venice, the average savings for that taxpayer would be $225. In the city of Sarasota, the average savings to the taxpayer annually would be $213. Again, that's a disclaimer. I am not an accountant, so make sure you run that by your CPA.
Follow up, sir.
You're recognized for a follow-up.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And I just used that as an example, the school board as an example, as in my position at that time and what we went through as a local government. But I know that this particular resolution does not address that, and which is a good thing. Also, have we thought about, I mean, we are the Ways and Means Committee. Have we thought about other ways to help our homeowners, like using some of our SOPROS funds to bring temporary relief? As well in between, so that then, I mean, because this may or may not pass, right? So I encourage us to look at other ways of we could possibly help bring relief to our constituents. And
Are we debating now? Or
no. That was a question. Okay. Is just have we thought of other ways? No debate. I mean that seriously. It was just okay. Have we thought about other ways of being able to bring relief to our homeowners? And don't get me wrong, I do believe that all of these any relief that we can bring to our constituents is important. But by the same token, when then those services locally are lacking, that your trash isn't being picked up, that your parks are looking dirty, that services are not happening, then there's another issue. So I'm just trying to figure out where the balance is.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Representative Valdez. I've had the opportunity in the off season to do a number of town halls, a number of different events where this actually been brought up by in many instances, folks that live in the community, senior citizens and others that live on fixed income, and this being a great way for folks like that in terms of making sure that, they can see a little bit more money in their pocket.
Representative Robinson, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Vice Chair. I do remember, and the staff report provides, in 2008, it was increased $25,000, the homestead exemption. Is that the last time it's been raised? I thought there was something in the 2018. Can you walk me through kind of the last time we've raised the homestead exemption, or the voters have raised the homestead exemption?
You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Robinson. 2008 was the last time the homestead exemption was raised. There was an attempt in 2018 of which it was not passed by the voters.
Members, any questions? Seeing no more, there are no amendments to the bill. There is public testimony on the bill. Bob McKee, Florida Association of Counties. Hey, Bob, are you signed up to speak to the next bill as well? I don't know. Hey. I was going to say, do you want to address both of them at the same time while you're here, but I don't.
Can I do that?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I promise to be brief on the second one.
Stay on this one then. No, all I was trying to do is make sure that we bifurcate the bills so that, yeah, so if you speak to this one, then, yeah, just hold off on comments on the next one because you'll have an opportunity. So, okay, very good. Thanks, Bob. Thank you. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice Chair, Majority Whip and Committee Whip, and Ranking Member. I am Bob McKee with the Florida Association of Counties. We do stand today, unfortunately, opposed to this amendment, and I'll be happy to explain why. As county commissioners, the county commissioners I represent, they have to access the ad valorem tax base to provide important services. They have to fund the sheriff's budget. They have to fund the other constitutional officers. They have to provide for other public safety throughout the community. And their choice to do this is very limited. They have to look to the ad valorem tax base. That is the tax base that the Constitution grants them. It is what they can use for general purposes, not restricted purposes, although they do have restrictions on its use. Because also the way the Constitution's set up, the county commissioners have to engage every year in a conversation with their community about what the appropriate level of services are, and ultimately, as a consequence of that, what the appropriate level of taxation is. Additionally, because of the rules in the Constitution, once that tax rate is set every year, it has to fall on all properties equally with respect to their taxable value. So it's important, different than the state system, millage rate is last step in the process. You build the budget first with the community, then you set the rate, and then it falls on the property equally. So from that standpoint, as the Supreme Court once said, where ad valorem taxation is concerned, one person's exemption is another person's tax. This proposal shifts the tax burden from homeowners to businesses to renters to second homeowners. Today, it's important when we hear that the homestead exemption hasn't been increased through 2008, It's important to understand that today, in today's tax scheme, the most critical benefit to homesteaders is not either the first or second homestead exemption. It is Save Our Homes. Today, the first homestead exemption takes, or for the current year's tax rule, 2023, first year homestead exemption takes about $125 billion off the roll. Second takes about 110 because it's higher in value. Save Our Homes takes $880 billion off the tax rolls to the benefit of homesteaders. Today, homestead property in the aggregate is taxed at only 45% of their value, where business, second homeowners, renters, owners of rental property, all pay at 80% of the value. This continues to put that increased burden on the homesteaded property owners. On the billion-dollar number, I think that's a pretty fair number because in 2017, I actually did the analysis when I was the chief economist for the Department of Revenue and measured to the way we measure it. At least at the time, I did a micro-simulation at the parcel level, so we actually simulated how every homestead exemption would appear and be benefited underneath the proposal compared to what they are under current law. So I describe those as measurements, had they been in place in that period of time, rather than an estimate. So I feel those are very good numbers when you look at the estimate on the impact, and given the growth in parcels and value since 2017, when I did that analysis, I fully expect it will be at or over $1 billion. Now, most of the growth comes from parcel growth, not value growth. But yes, I fully expect it would be over that $1 billion, again, as a shift. Public safety is our largest expenditure. That's sheriff's budget. That's to provide for emergency medical services. That's to provide for fire service as well. And so because of that, because of the impact to across our tax base, because of that fact that our commissioners, when they impose those millages, have no choice on how they fall on the individual property owner, we cannot support this shift. And we'll be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Bob. Sure. Ranking Member Escamani for a question.
Thank you so much, Sharon. Thank you, Bob, for that thorough analysis. One of the comments I've heard from just colleagues who are debating how they want to vote on this, right, is the increase on property values in the state of Florida. And so my response, my thought process is, well, population has also grown. So sure, property values are up, but you also have higher demands of these public services. Could you maybe just articulate, you know, a perspective on that? Because homeowners, you know, obviously are paying more because of property values that can fluctuate. Maybe just walk me through, as someone who is still a renter myself, walk me through what that reality is like and, you know, some of the push and pull there.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the general, the non-homesteaded property owner, for school levies, they face market impact with respect to their taxable values. So anytime the market moves, they face full market impact. If they are businesses, second homes, other non-homesteaded property, non-agricultural, they have a 10% limitation for county and for non-school purposes, but they are not limited otherwise. But for Save Our Homes, they are limited to the lesser of 3% or CPI, so they are not exposed to the market. And that protection from the market is what has generated, particularly in these last 2 years of extreme market growth, the extensive amount of value that is off the roll and has resulted in additional shifts in that burden back towards those non-homesteaded properties.
Representative Roth, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair. I have two questions, if you don't mind.
Just go ahead. Are they both on the same subject?
Yes.
Okay, then y'all just go ahead and back and forth.
So thank you, sir, for this, for your presentation and your comments on this. So just boil it down to simple terms. What does a $25,000 exemption mean to homeowners? Is it like $50 savings on their taxes?
It's going to depend upon the millage rates. So, you know, if it's a 10 mil, $25,000 is $250. If your, you know, your non-school levies are 5 mils, it'd be half of that. It just depends upon the millage rate.
So second question then, so what are we looking at in a general sense? Can you give us a kind of a percentage number? Okay, we're going to raise a homestead exemption by 25,000, and that means if your property values didn't go up and you were collecting the same millage as the year before as a county, you would have a loss of 1% of your income or 5% of your income? Do you have any kind of general number that you can give us to give us a feel for the scope of what a $25,000 exemption would look like to a county budget?
I'd have to go back and look at the most recent number for total county budgets. I expect it's going to be, you know, would not exceed 10%, but it's going to be substantial. And again, though, it's not anticipated to be a loss in revenue. It's a shift in impact. Because unless our communities come back and say they no longer want those services, they don't want that many deputies on the road, they don't want that many firemen, they don't want an ambulance to come when they call 911, we're going to have to maintain the levels of services and shift those burdens to other taxpayers.
So I don't know if you can answer this question. You said you worked for Department of Revenue before.
Yes.
So my thought is, a lot of people don't realize that the Save Our Homes is normally a 3%, but a lot of years it's not. You said it was 3% or CPI. So in the last year, do you have any knowledge? Was the Save Our Homes value at a full 3% cap?
I do expect that in recent years, given the high rates of inflation, that yes, sir, it was at the full 3%. I'd have to go back and verify, but I have full expectation in recent years that would be the case. However, it did at that 3% level protect hundreds of millions of dollars worth of value in that high market growth period of time for homesteaders specifically.
And that usually means that in that scenario, the property values did increase at a little bit faster rate. That's what that means.
Yes, sir. The last 2 years were historic to some degree in the extent of property value growth. And yes, homesteaders were protected from that growth. And that also shifts the burden to other taxpayers where the measurement of the value of properties is the tax base.
Representative Crusoe for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, sir. Happy New Year. You indicated that, as the Vice Chair mentioned, I'm the CPA in the room, and I'm on the clock. But you indicated that the Save Our Homes program cost counties $880 billion a year. And I'm looking at the math here, and if we assume there's, say, 24 million residents in the state of Florida, that would equate to $36,000 per individual, which would pretty much put everybody out of their homes. So are you indicating that the Association of Counties is against Save Our Homes?
Recognize.
First, if I may, let me clarify. The $880 billion number was a tax-based number, so you'd apply the millage rates to that in the various jurisdictions in order to determine the tax impact. In most places, the tax impact is going to be for non-school local governments is for our counties, certainly is less than 1%. For most counties, only the ones at 10 mils would be at 1% of that number. But the issue is not, we are not speaking, the reason we're speaking on Save Our Homes today is to make sure that everyone understands the entirety of the benefit that goes to homesteaders. We are not seeking, you know, that is not the legislation before us today. Our concern is that in the existing structure as it sits today, there is already a component that provides extreme protections to homeowners and shifts a large amount of that burden to businesses, second homeowners, and renters. And that is our concern.
Recognize?
So, again, I'll go back to my question, yes or no answer. Is the Association of Counties for or against our Save Our Homes?
You're recognized.
I can't answer that yes or no, is the for or against. So, it's a part of our tax base. We live with it today. We're not seeking to change it.
Bob, I think thank you for your testimony this morning. Charles Chapman, Florida League of Cities. Good morning.
Good morning, Honorable Chairman, Vice Chair Buchanan, Whip LaMarca, Ranking Member Escamani, and members of the committee. My name is Charles Chapman, and I have the pleasure of representing the Florida League of Cities this morning. I will not repeat much of what my colleague at the Florida Association of Counties has said for the sake of time. However, we do share mostly, I'd say 95% of the same perspective. The bill increases the homestead exemption values by $25,000 and reduces funds to cities. This increase is not a tax cut, it is a tax shift, and the increase will result in cities looking for ways to make up the deficit in funds. The decision will be to either raise taxes or cut services. The tax shift will put more of the tax burden on businesses and renters, and cities are going to be in a tough spot of having to make more choices of who are winners and losers in these types of situations. A one-size-fits-all approach does not acknowledge the value of a mill in Wauchula is not the same as the value of a mill in Miami. And this exemption increase will hurt small hometown communities more than it will major metropolitan communities. The League believes that there are alternatives, as we outlined in our letter to the committee that you should have received over the holidays. And we ask that you give consideration to those alternatives as opposed to this measure. We ask you for the opportunity to continue to work with you on a solution, but to officially state our position, the League of Cities is in opposition to WMC1 today.
Thank you for your testimony. Chris Doolin, Small County Coalition, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
And Bob, I didn't know you were going to take all my comments when I talked to you on Friday. I'm glad he spoke first. He's clearly knowledgeable and an expert on this. I want to raise the issue on behalf of the rural areas. And number one, we would oppose the bill in its current form because of the tax reduction and impact on the counties, and also the result of the tax shift. But when you look at the millage rates, more of our smaller counties are closer to 10 mills. And when you take this off the roll, they have nowhere to go. I'll give you an example, and I'm not representing that the larger urban counties do not have fiscal issues, because they do, but the value of a mill in Dade is $425 million, but the value in Union County is $344,000. All I want to say today is that in prior constitutional amendments, the legislature, their wisdom has been to accommodate the impact on the rural fiscally constrained. A fiscally constrained county is a county where one mill of property tax is less than $5 million. Many of them are at or close to 10 mills. So, Rep Buchanan, I'd love to sit down with you. I apologize for not getting with you earlier. I didn't know who was going to present the bill today, and I have had previous conversations with the chair, and I've sent some language to the staff. And Representative Tant and others, thank you for bringing this issue up. My comments would be the same on the second issue, on the second bill as well.
Representative Tant, for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you have any idea what the impact on our small counties would be under this?
On previous constitutional amendments, I believe the initial $25,000 was about $27-30 million. So it's I'm not going to say that's de minimis, but it's significant for our county. So, you know, when they score the bill, I would hope that they would score the impact of a offset for fiscally constrained. Quite frankly, you ought to consider an offset for all the counties and cities. This is their money. This is a constitutional provision. Now, I don't know if the appetite's there to do that, but the squeeze on non-homestead and business owners, it's definitely going to impact many of your constituents negatively, because there will be increases in millage rates.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you,
Chris.
Chairman.
We appreciate it. That is all of the public testimony on the bill. Members, we are in debate. Representative Casello, you are recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Buchanan, thank you. The premise of this bill is a good. I see what you're trying to do here. But the unknowns is what frightens me. Coming from local government, I know how the municipality budgets work or don't work. And we don't have the numbers of what this increase would do to those budgets, which could put us in some of these cities, especially these rural cities that we said, in real peril. And for that reason, I'm going to have to be down on this today. I think once you get more of the numbers in, talk to more of the stakeholders, and then maybe we could support it and move this forward. But as it stands now, I I cannot support it just because of the unknowns that are involved in this. I would like to see more, some more diligent work on insurance, property insurance, to help every homeowner save a few bucks. That's where I would like to go. But this, as it stands right now, Rep, I can't support it just because of all the unknowns.
Ranking Member Escamani, you're recognized.
Thank you so much, Chair, and thank you so much, Vice Chair, as well, for answering our questions and presenting this. And I want to echo Representative Costello, who eloquently shared, you know, I think there's universal agreement on the intention, right? We want to try to give savings to our constituents, our consumers. But when I hear that, you know, a constituent may save $200 annually, but then when they dial 911, they might not get a response, you know, you have to balance that cost-benefit analysis and really think about economies of scale here, where our local governments have responsibilities to meet. And right now, where I am in Central Florida, we're seeing a huge growth of demand with population size increases, and we don't have the services to meet that. We don't have infrastructure like traffic and transit to meet that. And so I get really concerned when we present what some may call a tax cut that eventually it was going to just shift onto other people. And as a renter, I'm not going to benefit per se, neither will any of my renters. And so I also would like to see this committee deliver broad-based prosperity and think about tax cuts and programs that will benefit every person on the economic scale, not just our property owners. And I really do appreciate Bob McKee painting the picture of, we do have some really, really strong policies in place today that already do deliver savings. And so with that said, I want to see what the REC says on Friday. I want to see that county-county breakdown and that individual calculation for our homeowners as well. But I don't want to rob our local governments and their ability to solve these problems and to meet the needs of their constituents. And so with that, I'm going to have to vote down this today. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Roach, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Buchanan, for bringing this good bill. You know, one of the comments we heard by the last presenter, I mean, it about made me come out of my chair, and this is the fundamental problem that cities and counties can't seem to grasp. When he said this is their money, referring to cities and counties, I just have to point out it was never their money. This money belongs to Florida taxpayers. It is not money that belongs to the cities and counties. So I find that comment particularly incendiary, but it exposes the way that these bureaucrats think. And then I would tell you this, you know, and I say this every time we debate an HJR, I give this same speech, and I'm going to give it again. The question that we're debating today is not on the merits of increased homestead exemption. The question we're debating today is who gets to decide. This will go before Florida voters, which will require a 60% majority to pass. That's a very high threshold. So whether you agree or disagree, I find it interesting that you would not want the voters to make that choice. And it's not a given. Remember, I think Chair Robinson mentioned back in 2020, the voters voted against an additional homestead exemption for firefighters, police officers, and EMTs. They voted no on that ballot provision. So it's not a given that the voters will be with us on this, but I think the voters should ultimately get a chance to have their voice heard and make that decision. With that, I will be up on this HJR, and I'm up on giving the voters the opportunity to have their voice heard.
Representative Hart, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As a homeowner, I am not a renter, I am a homeowner, and would I love to have an additional exemption? You absolutely. However, when I think about my additional homestead exemption, I have to also take into account what services will be impacted by my additional exemption. And those of you who know we make a whole lot of money in Tallahassee, right? So I think about that, and I don't want to give up any of my services. And my hope is, though, that we, as we continue to talk about this and we have more opportunities to go up on this bill, it will eventually, more than likely, make its way to the House floor. But I would like to have a completed analysis and know exactly what it is I'm voting for. Because in my case, many of my constituents will go along with whatever it is that I'm saying. But I want the constituents, just as they did before, to truly think about whether or not they're willing to get an additional homestead exemption or just say, no, I don't want to get that homestead exemption. But for me this morning, I just believe that we do not have enough information to make a decision like that. So I'm not saying that at some point I may not go up on this bill, but this morning, there's just not enough information. I also believe that, yes, while we're pondering whether or not we give this homestead exemption, how about we figure out how do we do something about this insurance crisis that my constituents are calling my office on every single day. So, you know, I'm with you if we can figure out how to make this work with our counties, but we can't just keep taking money. You know, we say we're giving it to our constituents, and yes, it is our money, the taxpayers' money, and I get that. But by the same token, I don't want my services to be lost if I get additional money, an additional exemption. So no, I cannot support this bill this morning. And I would like for you all to make sure that we have a complete synopsis of what this really looks like and not be guessing at anything when we go in to make these type of decisions. So thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Representative Hart. Representative Holcomb, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will be supporting this bill. And most of the reason why is because our taxpayers are under a great struggle right now. And we are talking about an unfair tax, a property tax. We have, this tax is broken. We have folks before us that came up with bills before us just now looking for relief, looking for additional exemptions. We have veterans, people with disabilities. All those people, rightly so, should benefit from some sort of reduction of tax or a tax exemption. But when you, as a former county commissioner, when you start that budget process, you're going into the budget season knowing that your health care costs are increasing, your pension costs, workers' comp, pay, construction costs, they're all increasing. And you have very important items to keep track of, law enforcement, fire, parks, and libraries. But let me step aside for a second. If you're trying to say that law enforcement and fire are on the board, then that's irresponsible local government. That should never be the first priority to cut. It's going to be other things like parks, like libraries, like some road projects and stuff like that. But why are we continuing with a broken process is my question. Someone asked earlier, what's the solution? I think the solution is to get rid of the broken process, or let's overhaul it, because there is another tax out there that counties don't always get to utilize, and that's a sales tax. That is the fairest tax that we have. Why aren't we looking at fair taxes to combine that with local government and give them a bigger ability to raise funds to meet all of those needs that I expressed earlier? Why are we continuing with the broken tax? I would like, I've had this conversation with many members of this committee, many members in the community, and they've all perked up and said, that's interesting. So why shouldn't we look at that more? With guardrails, because there's guardrails on property tax now for the local municipalities, why don't we look at giving them access to sales tax? Because a county commissioner, a city councilman, they could change their property tax with three votes, or just a majority of the votes, but they can't change the sales tax. It goes to the ballot. So you can change the unfair tax, but you can't change the fair tax. Why is that the concept that we have? So I just ask members to consider that, and maybe we look to that in the future. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for your comments. Representative Robinson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. I actually feel like I'm in Groundhog's Day. I remember these exact same arguments back in 2018. I think I was campaigning for the first time, and cities and counties were talking about the lights being shut off if this homestead exemption passed and other things in their budget not being able to be funded. And that's why I asked the question to Vice Chair Buchanan. This hasn't been raised in 16 years. And while I really like the bill you're going to present next, I think the CPI, I can't imagine what the homestead exemption would be over the past 16 years if we had that same CPI increase that hopefully will pass. 2020 to 2022, we've seen our property values in those 2 years or 3 years increase 53%. We have the highest rate of property increase in the country, almost an 18% increase in property values. Now, I understand we have inflation and we have folks moving into Florida, but we have lots of revenue coming in. I have one city in my jurisdiction that is actually, it's a beach city, that has declined in population, but their budget has doubled since I've been in office, while the state of Florida's budget has gone up around 25%, even with an increase in 1 or 2 million people coming in.
So I think this can work. And this is obviously, as Representative Roach said, going to go to the voters to decide. But I think it's more past time that the voters get a chance to see this increase, to see some tax relief. Thank you for this bill.
Thank you for your comments, Representative. Representative Tant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm struggling with this bill. I came in here knowing that, you know, our property values are escalating, and I know that we need some relief. However, I do represent two rural counties, and I will tell you, in the city of Madison, that the firefighters there are paid $12.65 an hour. $12.65 an hour, because that's all that county, that city and municipality can afford. And so I'm struggling with how this is going to impact them, when knowing that this is the funding pot that our first responders are paid from. So I'm really worked up over this. I'm really struggling with it. I can tell you that even in Leon County, our dispatch office, they have to work through their lunch hours. They only pay $16 an hour. And that's in a better county. Now in Madison and Jefferson, we don't have the largest businesses there are prisons and schools and ag. The second pool of businesses are small and independent businesses and retailers. So they're going to have an impact. I can't vote for this bill today, but I completely get where we're coming from. I want to save our taxpayers the money they deserve, but I've got to work on some relief for our rural counties before I can vote on it. So that's where I am, and I will continue to work with you, Representative Buchanan and Chair McClain, as we go forward on this. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Representative Whip Lamarcky, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Vice Chair, for bringing this bill forward. There's been a lot of really thoughtful comments here, and you know, Florida is a very diverse state. We've got agricultural lands that Representative Roth represents, and we've got urban communities that I and multiple other people, along with coastal communities, represent, and the tax, the way people pay their taxes. I mean, we pay it all the same way, but the impact is much different. You know, what I would say, and Representative Holcomb, I appreciate you bringing up local government. I live in a city where I was a city commissioner. We have 2.5 total square miles, 11,000 people, and our budget is the size of some of your appropriations requests. And I also had the privilege of working with Chair McClain as a county commissioner for 8 years in FAC and in my county, where we have 2 million people and an $8.6 billion budget. So very, very different things for different communities. The only thing I would say, and I'm going to be supporting to move this forward, because I know that the importance of it to just not only the taxpayers, but to the process. Let's continue to look at our constrained counties, because I think the fiscal issues are much, much different there. You put a triple homestead on a house that's worth $75,000, and you see where the problem comes in. But in support of this, the one thing I would say is I agree with Representative Holcomb. Much of our tax system is broken. We keep talking about different ways to tax to build roads, and we have cars that aren't paying a tax at all because they're not buying gas. So as we look at different ways to affect this state, I'm thankful for your thoughtful leadership, Mr. Chairman, and last year with the size of the tax cut we had. But in moving this forward, I would just say that we all need to continue to have this conversation, and let's forget about, you know, what side of this conversation we come from, and let's think about the taxpayers of the state, because they're the ones that pay the bills.
Thank you. Representative Valdez, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And, you know, in reading this resolution, I do agree that the voters need to decide. And before, I'd like to put something before the citizens of the state of Florida. I'd like to know exactly what it is that we're doing and the actual impact of that they will have locally. I would like to go back to my constituents back home and say, if should you vote for this, this is what it's going to potentially do for you. Or if I have the report and actually says this is what it is going to do for you, then that's more concrete. I don't like creating laws like we cook spaghetti to see if it sticks. So I'd like to be able to have some concrete information. So today I'm going to be down on the resolution until I get more information in reference to the financial impact. I also think that maybe it's time that, I don't know if we've ever had an OPAGA study to see how the impact of the affect and the effects of all of these different tax breaks that we have and exemptions, to see if there could be a possibly a revamping of it, if maybe we need to do something that's more holistic and look at all of these different exemptions that we have, and maybe we can come up with a much bigger, better tax package, if you will, or exemptions that will address the diverse communities in our state. So I'm going to really look to see about requesting an OPAGA study to see what would be the most effective way to be able to help all of our Floridians. But today, during committee, I will be voting no on this until we get further information, and I'm looking forward to having that conversation with both Chair McClain and Representative Buchanan on obtaining that information, and then we go from there. Thank you.
Representative Roth, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. I wasn't going to comment, but listening to my fellow members of this committee, I decided I wanted to make a comment. My district, like most of you, has changed with reapportionment, and so I've gone from representing cities that have high property taxes and have benefited from property taxes increasing in coastal areas of Florida, and still have not lowered their millage for their city taxes. So we have a problem that of a disproportionate values, and it hurts the rural counties. Now I'm more in a rural area, and in the rural areas, you don't have the property values, and so this causes a problem. The point that I think I want to follow is Representative Holcomb's remarks, that there is a better way to go, but it's a big holistic approach. I'm in favor, totally in favor of this bill today, but it actually is going to exacerbate the problem that we do need to look at possibility of some sales tax changes in order to be able to lower the total property taxes being collected in the state of Florida. As a farmer and a businessman, obviously increasing homestead exemptions hurts business because it shifts the burden. But I think the solution really is not to have every county raise their sales tax by 1 cent, because the problem is they don't lower their property taxes. When they do that, they just collect more money. I think there needs to be a discussion about a balance, which is raising sales tax and lowering property taxes in the state of Florida.
Representative Duggan, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to observe that along with all the discussion about structural reform to generate more revenue, we ought to also have a holistic discussion around structural reform of the expense side of the ledger. There's no iron law that says we have to have 67 counties in Florida. Every county has to pay for a clerk of the court, a property appraiser, a tax collector, a sheriff, and a local elected body. There's no iron law that says we have to have 400 plus cities, which each of which has to have a planning department and a parks department and a recreation department and human services. Just sitting here while I was listening to debate, I Googled, I'm not gonna name these counties, but here are five counties with their current population according to Google: 18,288, 16,335, 14,363, 14,555, and 12,572. That last county is essentially just slightly larger than the city Representative Lamarca said he was on the board of. Perhaps we maybe ought to look at consolidating counties, eliminating cities. Then the revenue problem isn't quite such a problem. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Killebrew, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Since the first day I got up here, I've been a home rule person, and I see this strictly as a preemption on cities and counties, so I'll be down on the bill.
In debate, members. Seeing none, Vice Chair Buchanan, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, thank you for all your feedback, comments, and questions. I look forward to working with you and the stakeholders as we continue to move forward as it relates to this bill. These are a few things that we do know. And we do know over the last 2 years, there's been double-digit increases in revenues for local governments on average. We do know, Representative Robinson, as it relates to the point you made, since if it was, going back to the second one, which we're going to talk about in a minute, as if that inflation adjustment piece was put in place in 2008, that $25,000 would be $36,000 today. We do know that if we encourage, that we're encouraging folks to for home ownership opportunities, we do know that we're driving down the cost of ownership for property owners. As it relates to Representative Roach's comment, I agree entirely. What we're doing as it relates to this bill is we're giving the voters the opportunity to determine whether or not they want $1 billion plus tax savings moving forward. So that's what we're discussing here today. I look forward to continuing to work with those stakeholders so we can continue to progress the conversation, and to the extent of which we need to discuss making a change, we can have that conversation. But I encourage everyone to be up on this bill. Thank you.
Representative Vice Chair Buchanan, having closed on his bill, Rosa, please call the roll on PCBWMC 2401 and announce the vote.
Chair McClain?
Yes.
Vice Chair Buchanan?
Yes.
Majority Whip Lamarca?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
No.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Campbell?
No.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
No.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Hart?
No.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Killebrew?
No, ma'am.
Sorry. Ethan. Rayner?
No.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Tant?
No.
Valdez?
No.
Sixteen yeas. Eight nays.
Members, by your vote, we will show WMC 2401 reported favorably. Now we'll move on to WMC 2402. Vice Chair Buchanan, you're recognized to explain the PCB members. Well, go ahead, Representative, Chairman, Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, this PCB 24-02 is an HJR that would index the value of non-school homestead exemptions. This is the exemption that is currently valued at $25,000 and applied to the portion of the value between $50,000 and $75,000, as we discussed earlier, each year based on the same inflation metric used for Save Our Home calculation, which is a specific consumer price index. This would apply to the expanded non-school homestead exemption in the amendment proposed in PCB WMC 24-01 as well, if that amendment is approved by voters. The HJR also requires that any similar future homestead exemptions be subject to the same indexing for inflation if the exemption applies only to non-school levies and applies to all homesteaded properties in the state. If approved by voters, this would go into effect January 1st, 2025. That is an explanation.
Thank you, Vice Chairman, for the explanation. Members, are there questions on the bill? Ranking Member Escamani, you're recognized.
Thank you so much, Chair, and thanks again, Vice Chair. I know before, I know we're waiting for the REC, I assume the 12 is when I was in the both we scored together, but do you have an estimation on, you know, annual benefit per property owner, what that dollar amount would be?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Ranking Member, you always have some great questions. That's going to depend on the location of that individual property owner and what county, municipality, local government they're located in. I have some ideas for my area because I wanted to run those numbers, but
follow-up
I
chair?
Can share those if you'd like.
Yeah, thank you so much, Chair and Vice Chair. That would be helpful. Just even a ballpark. I'm just curious what that is.
For just the inflation, Mr. Chair, just a point of clarification, for just the inflation component, correct? For
correct.
Just as it relates to this bill, yes.
Like hypothetical.
So this is, again, we have an in-house accountant here with Representative Cruz, so I'm going to suggest that folks talk to their accountants, but this is just back of the table math here. About $8 I'd be assuming, well, no, actually, it's going to depend on the CPI, too. It's going to depend on, but I did an assumption based on a 6% CPI. So that CPI is going to change annually. So you have to make certain assumptions moving into the future as it relates to CPI. Now, we do have some projections.
Members, if you'll remember too, when he started, one part of the conversation was if this had been done on the 25,000 that currently exists, it would be about 36,000 now. So over the last period of time.
So there's many variables, Representative. And thank you, Mr. Chairman, Ranking Member. There's many variables as it relates to this. The number I just gave you was an assumption on a CPI, which you also have to make. You also have to know what locality you're in. County and or other local government, so it's going to be dependent on where you're located.
You're recognized.
Thank you so much. A quick follow-up, and I was just looking at so we're using the urban CPI, correct, which is, I think, the most common one that most municipalities and cities use, which I assume is the highest measure of inflation we could use, right? Sometimes the CPI for the South region is used, and as one example in Florida, our minimum wage is based upon the CPI for the South region. So I guess I'm just curious, what made you choose the urban consumer index compared to another one?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Ranking Member. We wanted to have some consistency in using something as we are using today as it relates to the Save Our Homes index. Consistency there.
And then one last question, Chair, if I may. Thank you so much. Just because of the variance, I guess I'm just thinking more from like an administrative perspective. What other states already do this? And if we have those examples, any challenges in just implementing? Because, you know, obviously so many variables can impact. So I'm curious, is from a purely operational perspective, have there been challenges in other states in doing something like this?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Ranking Member, for that question. You know what? That's a great question, and we'll do some research and be happy to get back to you on that.
Thank you. Questions? Seeing none. There are no amendments. We are in public testimony. Bob McKee, Florida Association of Counties. Members, we have about 11 minutes to finish up. Bob, I just asked, to the point.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm still Bob McKee with the Association of Counties. On this proposed constitutional amendment, it's really all the same concerns about the shifts that I talked about previously. It just happens in smaller bites and with no end to it going forward throughout time. So it has all the shifts throughout the tax base that happen. It just does it longer over time. And I'd take any questions.
Thank you, Bob. Questions? No. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it. Charles Chapman, Florida League of Cities. Okay, thank you, Charles. Chris Doolin, Small County Coalition. You got 22 seconds.
Yeah.
27, no, it's 27 constraints.
Representative Roach.
27 seconds.
I even cringed when I heard you repeat what I said. And I want to say it was very unartful. It was not thoughtful. It is not our money. Clearly, it's not our money. I've been around this process a long time, and I want to make sure that is not the take-home comment. It is the money that local governments have available to them. That's it. So I apologize for the remark. It was unartful. And I will not speak to the next one, but there is language for fiscally constrained. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris. There is no other public testimony. Members, we are in debate. I remind you that we've just got a few minutes, but we are in debate. Representative Banks, and you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be brief. I wrestle with this because I, too, agree with the principle of home rule. It's best to have government closest to the people, but you can't get any closer than the homeowner themselves when it comes to this issue. The fact that we are presenting this to the voters to make this decision, to me, gives the comfort level to move across that line. I wrestled with this, serving at the local level for 6 years. I understand the pressure that's going to be on the local government. One of the last things that I pressed for and was able to do in the local government was to get a reserve policy that gave affords four shifts in legislation. And I appreciate this discussion today because we need to rethink our whole tax structure. And many great comments have been made to move us away from the burden being only on the taxpayer or the homeowner to all those who enjoy the local amenities. So I am going to be up on this as well.
Thank you. Debate. Representative Escamani.
Thank you so much, Chair. And I really do appreciate, you know, folks wanting to revisit the entire tax structure. This is a fun committee to get that done. And I do think, you know, what an opportunity to bring in some more experts and evaluate all the layers. Because what I will say is that, you know, sales tax, I hear folks a lot of positive feedback to sales tax. Sales tax is a regressive tax, meaning that individuals who make less actually pay more of their income to it than others because we each pay the same amount when we purchase that item. So we do have to be sensitive to not just a tax system that is less regressive, but also preparing for disasters. Because when you're heavily reliant on sales tax and there's a recession and consumers stop shopping, then we have no revenue. So it's complicated, to say the least. With that said, I do appreciate the vice chair answering my questions. I want to learn more about this when it comes to other states, if they've pursued it, you know, what would be any of the bureaucratic challenges implementing it. The fiscal is substantially smaller compared to the previous one, so I do appreciate that. But that also means that the consumer does not get a huge benefit. And I do think that there's a lot more this committee can do to deliver tax relief to every single person, not just homeowners, but every single person who works in our state, who pays taxes in our state. And I'm excited for the opportunity to get to do that this session. So I'm still having no on this. I'm sorry, Vice Chair, because I do admire you greatly. But maybe, you know, once we learn more, that can shift over time. Thank you.
Vice Chair Buchanan, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, members of the committee, for the questions and the comments. I look forward to working with everyone moving forward as it relates to this bill, and that's my close.
Thank you, Vice Chairman. Having closed on PCB for WMC 2402, Rosa, please call the roll and announce the vote.
Chair McClain?
Yes.
Vice Chair Buchanan?
Yes.
Majority Whip Lamarca?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
No.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Campbell?
No.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
No.
Dugan?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Hart?
No.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Killebrew?
No, ma'am.
Rayner?
No.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Tant?
No.
Valdez?
Nope.
Yeas, 8 nays.
Members, by your vote, we'll show PCB WMC 2402. We'll report that favorably. Vice Chair Buchanan, you are recognized to explain PCB WMC 2403, Homestead, and this is the implementation bill for the first two HJRs that we just passed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, this is the implementing bill. The implementing bill has three alternative implementing provisions. Based on whether either or both HJRs are approved by voters. If only the amendment proposed by PCB WMC 24-01 is approved, the bill will update the statutory reference to 25,000 exemption to instead refer to $50,000 exemption. If only the amendment proposed by PCB WMC 24-02 is approved, the bill will be updated with the $25,000 exemption to include the requirement that the exemption be indexed for inflation. If the amendment proposed by both HJRs are approved, the bill will increase the exemption to $50,000 and require the $50,000 be indexed for inflation. That is the bill.
Thank you for that explanation. Are there any questions, members? Representative Tant, you're recognized.
I'd like to just once again ask for the ability to work with you on including language for fiscally restrained counties in this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Tan, I always enjoy working with you, so I look forward to having conversations.
Questions? Seeing none, there are no amendments. Public testimony, Charles Chapman, Florida League of Cities. Thank you, Charles. Chris Doolin, Small County Coalition. Thank you. That is the public testimony. Members in debate? Seeing no debate, Vice Chair Buchanan, you recognize the close. Oh. Excuse me. Got to get up faster, Campbell. Representative Campbell, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You got to excuse me. I sprained my back, so I've been moving kind of gingerly today. No, I just want to put on the record this bill and the previous two bills, just, you know, that there's just not enough information out there for us to really make a determination of that due to we're still waiting for estimates, and if we're asking for this to be put on a bill for voters to vote for without that information, how can we be so confidently to put that on there? And so my reasoning on why I'm voting down on this implementation bill right here is just like the other two bills, is that it's just not enough for somebody like myself who is not versed in this field, but definitely want to learn more and learn what am I voting for as far as when I'm putting it before voters. So that's my testimony.
Thank you, Representative Campbell. Vice Chair Buchanan, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, members, for the conversation here today on both these HJRs and the implementing bill. I look forward to working with everyone as we move forward here. And I'll tell you, I really enjoyed the opportunity to work on this. Inflation indexing component, something I've had in drafting in the past. Chair McClain, thank you for that opportunity. I also want to thank staff. You guys, Vince Aldridge and your team, you guys have done an amazing job on this. So thank you for all the work that you've put in. And with that, I close.
Vice Chair Buchanan, having closed on PCB for WMC 2403, Rosa, please call the roll and announce the vote.
Chair McClain?
Yes.
Vice Chair Buchanan?
Yes.
Majority Whip Lamarca?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
No.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Campbell?
No.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
No.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Hart?
No.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Killebrew?
No, ma'am.
Rayner?
No.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Tant?
No.
Valdez?
No.
16 yeas, 8 nays.
Members, by your vote, we'll report PCB WMC 2403 favorably. Members, that concludes our agenda for today. Thank you all for your attention and your remarks. I appreciate that. Our next meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, January 17th at 10:30. Members, also a lot of you brought up about looking at some different ways to do taxation, actually, in Florida. I think every 20 years, the Taxation and Budget Reform Commission meets. They will be meeting in 2027. Most of you should still be around by then. But anyway, so you may have an opportunity at that point to have a conversation about taxation in Florida. But anyway, thank you all for your comments today. With that, Rep. Fabricio moves, we rise. Without objection, show the meeting adjourned. Thank you.